What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. I'm super excited about today's episode because we are joined by none other than Erin Claire Jones, and we're going to be talking all about human design. So what is human design? A lot like an astrological birth chart, human design is a system based on the exact time, date, and place of birth. However, this information doesn't just map out where the planets were in the sky, like what happens with the birth chart in astrology. Human design also identifies your dominant chakras, and this kind of helps create your personal body graph. It's basically an energetic blueprint, and it's a mix of the Kabbalah, I Ching, Myers-Briggs, astrology, biochemistry, genetics, and the chakra system all in one. I know. It's fucking cool. So Erin says that human design is a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science that sheds light on a person's energetic makeup, as well as specific tools that they can use to live at their happiest, healthiest, and highest potential. And by understanding our human design, we can actually discover how we are wired to make decisions, work within teams, parent, partner, and live as we were uniquely designed to. So Erin is an OG in the human design world, and she's been doing this work for nearly a decade. Her work as a guide, a coach, and a speaker has attracted a growing community of over 250,000 people who turn to her teachings for practical tools, digestible tips, and deeper self-knowledge that they can access to live with greater ease and more authenticity every single day. With her work featured in Forbes, MindBody Green, Well and Good, Allure, and shared on over 250 podcasts, Erin's insights are highly sought after because they make human design pragmatic, tangible, accessible, and immediately applicable to everyday life, which we love. And today, she's here to bring us all of her juicy wisdom to make shift happen. So in this conversation, we are going to break down a lot of things for you. We're going to talk about the best places to start learning about your human design. We're going to break down the five human design types and what yours means, choosing a business model that works best for your type, a breakdown of the seven authorities and how to follow yours, and what you need to know about the human design profiles, and so much more. And also, what's super exciting is that Erin has been nice enough to offer our community a discount code on your very own human design blueprint. So this is a hyper-personalized, super accessible guide to your specific human design. When you order your blueprint, what you're going to get is 55 plus pages all about your unique design, delivered as a beautiful downloadable PDF in 7 days or less. And it's going to be custom made to order. Your blueprint guide is going to help you practically apply every piece of your design to your life, your work, and your relationships. I'm literally obsessed with mine, and I keep coming back to it and learning something new every time. I'm even thinking about getting it printed and bound or something so that I can leave it on my bedside. So if you're fascinated already by human design, or after you listen to this episode, you really want to go deeper, go grab your very own human design blueprint. You can find the link in the show notes, or just go to humandesignblueprint.com/guide and make sure that you enter the code DAILY in all caps, DAILY, at checkout to save. Thanks, Erin. All right, let's dig into this episode. Welcome to the Make Shift Happen podcast. I'm your host, Samantha Daly, entrepreneur, life coach, and your no BS bestie, here to bring you all things mindset, manifestation, and personal development. This podcast is designed to help you expand your mind and up-level your life. So turn the volume up and roll the windows down if you're coming along for the ride. Let's go make shift happen. Wait is over and it is finally back, you guys. Abundant and Ambitious is now open for enrollment. This is my 16-week business mastermind for early and aspiring coaches. This is one of my favorite programs that I get to run. You do not need to be certified or an expert in your field. You do not need to be self-employed. You don't need to have a big following on social media. You don't need to be a mindset coach or a business coach like me, and you don't even need to have paying clients. clients yet. We are going to give you all of the tools that you need in order to massively grow your business. Here's what you're going to get inside of Abundant and Ambitious. You're going to get 12 of my best business trainings, and you're also going to get the chance to sit down with me every single week on our weekly live hot seat coaching calls on Zoom and ask me your personal juicy questions about your business, your offers, what you're building, and what advice you might desire from me. You're going to get 4 months of intimate support, have the opportunity to upgrade to an exclusive content workshop with me, access our vault of 9 incredible guest expert sessions, the networking, the community, the cross-pollination with other members of this mastermind, and you're also going to get homework, bonus resources, EFT, and meditations every single week. My mission with Abundant and Ambitious has always been to provide high-level business coaching for the woman who wants to get ahead without the high-level price tag. I am so beyond proud of the insane value that is packed inside of this 4-month mastermind. And for the price that it is, you just cannot find something like this in this industry. It doesn't exist. This much value, this much contact time, the ability to ask personalized questions, get guidance, the collaboration, the sisterhood, all of it for this price, it just doesn't exist anywhere else. Click the link in the show notes below for all the details and payment plan options. And feel free to DM me over on _SamanthaDaily on Instagram with any questions that you might have. Are you ready to make your passion your paycheck? Welcome to the show, Erin. I'm so excited for this conversation. I can't wait to dive deep on all things human design. When my assistant brought this opportunity to me, she was like so excited about it. She was like, Erin Claire Jones, like we can get her on the podcast. And I was like, as I started digging into your work and all the shows that you've been on, I'm like, okay, this girl, she's a big deal. Like, and you've been in the human design space before human design was cool. Like you are an OG. Yeah, you are an OG. So I was like, this is going to be fun. We're going to have a really good conversation. So welcome to the show. I'm really, really excited that you're here.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
The first time I ever heard about human design was back in like 2018. I was on a trip in Bali and I was like really deep in my personal development. Like I had just started kind of uncovering all these things. So, you know, when you're first getting into all of that, any tool, anything for self-awareness, you're like, give it to me. Like, I'll take the test. I want to figure it out. So I took the test and I didn't really know anything about it, but I saw a manifesting generator and I was just stoked that my type had the word manifesting in it because I was obsessed with manifestation at the time. I was like, I don't know what this means, but like, yes.
I'll take it. Yeah.
I'll take it. And then you get this. So for people who aren't familiar, let's first like, what is human design at like the very foundation of it? What is this tool?
It is a system based on your time, date, and place of birth that reveals your energetic blueprint and how you're uniquely wired to thrive, whether it's in building a business, cultivating a relationship, parenting, all the things. The way I like to think about it is that so often we feel like we need to kind of do things in the way that others are, whether it's parenting or building a business. And human design really reveals like, what is our unique roadmap? Like, how are we wired to do things? And often we can find so much more flow when we really align with that.
I love that. So when you take this, well, it's not even really like a test or an assessment. You just have to enter, similar to like if you were to get your birth chart in astrology, you've got to enter your date and place of birth and time and all of those things. And then you get this really funky, complicated looking chart thing that's almost like a body. And then it's got all these like triangles and shapes inside of it. What is your perception of someone who, let's say they have no idea about human design, they've never explored it, that's going to be confusing to them. Where should they start? Like, what are some of the basic foundational items that you think people need to learn about their chart to just even get like a glimpse of what's going on?
Yeah, I think that it can be really overwhelming at first. Often people will look at the chart and they're like, okay, I'm going to close out that window. That looks really confusing. So where I would recommend you start is your type. Your type is a very simple and important part of your design. It's often what people are kind of introduced to human design with, like you also were. Your type, your strategy, your authority, and your profile are the four pieces that I would start with. There are so many pieces beyond that, but those are the pieces that talk about how to use your energy most productively and effectively, how to create opportunities that actually feel aligned, how to make decisions big and small in a way that you can consistently trust, and also really how to align with your purpose and kind of market and share your work with the world in the most aligned way.
Yes. All right. Well, we're going to dig into those. But I've heard you say before, like when you first, well, I guess before you discovered human design, you were kind of always in this, like you were living in a way that was not really aligned with your type. It was like this ignoring of your nature as a projector. So just for anyone who doesn't know their type yet, or maybe does, but doesn't fully resonate with it, like how much of a permission slip can it really be when you actually discover discovered this unique blueprint?
I find that it can go two ways, and it was both for me. Like, discovering your human design might feel very relieving because you might just feel like, oh, yeah, this is totally me. And it just affirms the path that I've chosen. You know, you might discover, and I know we'll talk about it all, but you're a manifesting generator and you realize you've always been multi-passionate. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm not scattered. Like, this is just how I'm built. And so often there's like a gigantic permission slip of like, I just get to be me. There's another way to experience human design, which was definitely my experience, which was that it felt very relieving because I felt like I was articulated and seen in a way that I'd never been before. But I also felt very confronted because what was being shared with me was the opposite of the way that I'd been living my life and the way that I had been working. But it was also a big permission slip, even in that case, because I'm like, that's why it doesn't feel good. I've been trying so hard to like be this consistent hustler and just like always do. And there's just another way. And so I would just say that there's no wrong way to experience human design. You might be living your design, you might be far from it. You know, I experience people all along the spectrum. But human design is an amazing tool to kind of bring you more into flow. And so I would just, you know, take it if it feels useful. And if it doesn't feel useful, let it go. But I find that even when people feel confronted, they often know that the way they're doing things isn't working. And so they're like, okay, tell me everything. And I think what I love most about human design is that it's so practical. It doesn't give you just all this juicy self-knowledge. It gives you all these tools to actually apply all the information in your daily life to actually experience change.
It kind of reminds me of like so many of us struggle with health things, whether it's like skin issues or gut health or whatever the case. And it would be like going to the doctor, and every time they're like, you're fine, which happens so often, like everything's great. And you're like,
Totally.
what the heck? So then you get this report back. Finally, you go to like a naturopath or something, you get this report back. And finally, it's like, oh, all of these things are like slightly off or a little bit wrong. And that's
Yeah.
kind of a bummer. But in the same breath, it's like, what a relief to like finally know
Totally.
why and to feel like there's a solution. So
100%.
I love that human design can kind of be that liberation for people of like, oh, there's another way. I don't have to do it the way that everyone else does it. Because I think the way that our world operates is really probably designed most for generators and that kind of
Correct.
like, you know, push and go, go, go. And so we're all trying to fit into that box. And then there's a lot of people that think there's something wrong with them. Why can I not be consistently motivated? Why is this not working for me? Like, oh, you know, I want to be like you. I want to build a business like that. I wish I could show up like that. I want to do this every day, but like, I just can't do that. It's not working for me. And then there's shame and there's guilt and there's feeling like we're broken. And so I think a lot of times when you discover things like this about yourself, you go, oh, wait, like maybe there is another path. Maybe there is another way. It's this permission slip.
I love that. And I find that is the experience so often for people, you know, and I think just so often it's like, oh, I should do it this way. Like, this is the way that it's done. And then it's like really disappointing when it doesn't work. And then we kind of internalize that and feel like something's wrong with us. I think human design, like at its most foundational level, reminds us that we are all wired so differently. And that's obviously such an amazing tool individually, but it's such an amazing tool in our relationships because often there's so much friction with a partner. If we're like, why aren't you doing things like me? Or why are you different than what I think you're supposed to be? And I think when we understand like, oh, you're just wired differently, it's like, it is such a relief and it gives us so many more tools to kind of honor people that are really different than us, which is going to be most people.
It's hard to just do like take that as face value of like people are different. People do things differently. People see things different. It's almost like we need the
I know.
proof. We need the physical piece of paper that shows, oh, they actually are different. And then it creates a level of
Totally.
compassion and understanding and an ability to kind of expand your mind of like how other people are seeing the world and the lens through which they're viewing situations and all that kind of stuff. So that's something
Yeah.
that I really love about all of the, you know, self-awareness kind of personal development.
Yeah.
Something that I'm really curious about before we jump into like types and strategy and all the fun stuff is a little bit of like the business side of human design for you. So you
Yeah.
initially were like, okay, this makes a lot of sense because things haven't felt fully aligned and perhaps this is why. So it was a relief. It was exciting. How did you decide like, I'm going to turn this into a business? Because like I said at the start, you got into this before it was this like wildly popular craze that kind of everyone at some point, I think, I don't know, maybe this is just us living in the
Our
bubble
little
of
world,
like the online space. But I'm like, I do feel like most people at least have like heard of it at this point, but this was like way before that. And so what was that time of your life like? And what was the leap from whatever you were doing before to being like, yeah, I'm going to go all in on this human design thing?
So the way I discovered human design, I had been consulting for a bunch of different startups in New York City at the time. And again, I was enjoying it, but it was not like I didn't feel like I was really in my flow or really in it, in my gifts. But I went to a friend's gathering on the Lower East Side and I sat next to a stranger and he asked to read my human design chart. And like you said, no one knew what it was. I was just like, okay, tell me everything. Like I'm open, you know, share whatever you see. And he gave me that mini reading that was so confusing. confronting and so relieving all at once. And I had never felt more seen, and I had explored many modalities before. But he actually ended that conversation by saying, "Erin, I think you're meant to do this. And like, I think we're meant to build a business together." And it was just like this really cosmic, intense moment where he really invited me in to study human design with him and build a business with him. And my human design is all about being invited, which I had learned, about 5 minutes before that. I think had it not been for that invitation, I'm not sure if my life would have taken the direction that it did. So I honestly, kind of everything else in my life just fell away very organically. And I went to Bali at that moment and started building the business with him,
Classic.
as we do. And I built a business with him for 2 years. And it was really hard because, as you shared, human design was not well known. And our business was focused specifically on how to bring human design to business. And really, we're working only in corporate spaces. And human design was so new. And so I was learning so much. He was my first teacher. And then I was just studying basically all the time. But it also wasn't financially sustainable, And so I actually walked away from that business in 2017. And I was like, I love human design. It feels like part of my purpose. But like, I also like need to support myself in a better way than this is actually allowing. I joined and a job had come up. I had been invited to opening a big, beautiful space in New York City. So I said yes to that. And I felt like I was giving up on my human design dreams. And then 3 months later, my husband was just like, "You failed. So what? Try again." It's like, because people kept asking me and I was like, I put it aside. I'm like stopping. And so I decided he built me a website at the end of that year, end of 2017. And then I kind of like launched my own practice in 2018 on the side of the company that I was helping start and open in New York City. And it just started happening. It was, I remember, like I said, I like organized my first talk and like 400 people showed up. And then like people just started booking sessions. It was so crazy. And then my husband was just like, "What is going on?" I was like, "I
Yeah.
don't know." And then my husband, who's like an entrepreneur, was like, "I think we should build a business, And I was like, "Okay." And so he's very behind the scenes, obviously, but he was really the one that had the kind of vision and strategy around the business and has really kind of like led the ship and stewarded us in many ways. But it was a pretty amazing journey. It kept growing. I was still working at this company, but they had like built me a schedule where I would work there in the afternoons. And then when I was making more money in human design than the business, I walked away. And so that was the next year. So it was really like, it was a wild journey. And I think a big lesson for me was like, one, it's not always going to work the first time, obviously. But I will also say for me, and this is not true for everyone, is that it felt a lot better building it a lot on building it while also working a job that like provided me stability because it allowed it to grow so much more organically. And I think those initial 2 years, like human design was very new, but I was putting so much pressure on it to work. And I felt like when I was building it alongside, like I was just seeing if it worked and I was just like having fun with it and it just kept working, And so it has been a really amazing journey, but I'd never gotten into human design to build a business. That was like never the plan. I thought it was so interesting. And then like things just kept happening and I kept being invited in a way that like I couldn't really avoid it.
I always tell my business clients who are just starting, like how important I think it is to have a source of safety, security, income of some kind. It allows you to access that energy of non-attachment
Totally.
because you don't need, you're not like squeezing the life out of the business that is brand new, being like, I need this to work. Like, hopefully we get a sale. Like, it allows you to kind of be more in flow, to be playful, to be creative, to have that sort of like, whatever, like, this is just fun kind of energy, which is so magnetic. And
Magnetic,
that's
totally.
hard to fake. It's really hard to fake.
It is. And it was just like, it was so stressful the first time, And of course it was. We were doing something totally new with a system that no one knew about, And I just had so much more fun the second time. And it happened so much more organically because of it.
And your blueprint guides, which still exist today, but I think I heard that you initially did like the first 12,000 or something by hand, which is so insane. Just a little bit of context of like the grind of that era and what it was like when things, I mean, also just have 400 people show up to like your first event. I mean, that's so not normal, right? So then
So
there's like
normal.
all of this momentum and you're almost playing catch up, I guess, of trying to keep up with the level of interest and orders. And like that's a dream for most people. They want to break their business. They want to grow it. So there's such an influx where they can't even handle it. But so often that doesn't happen. We have to like create the systems first so that we can be prepared for that to flow in. So I'm just curious about your experience in the reverse of like not being prepared for all of the influx.
I know, I was so unprepared. And it is just funny because I feel like being a mom now, I'm like, I could never have done it. Like, I just like, it was so at that moment in my life that I really had the capacity to just be like, I will make blueprints all the time. But yeah, but just very quickly, I started out the business by just offering private sessions and quickly realized that I was one person and could not reach all the people that I wanted to. And I was totally booked out in sessions. And for each session, I would make people like a really beautiful personalized guide about their design. And one day my husband was like, why don't you just sell that? Like, people obviously love it. They have it printed out. They take notes. Like, just sell that. And I was like, okay, like, I'll do it on my Instagram story. Like, anybody want a guide? And people like started Venmoing me. And I remember him being like, Erin, if we like sell 100, and then like, we know it's a real offering, and like, and we'll build a better system to build it. And it's just so funny. Like, we didn't build a system to help me make them until we had sold 12,000. And I built them all in Keynote. And for the first, I don't even know how
Wow.
many, I would make people little videos like, hey, sending your blueprint. I love this part about your design. Like, it's like one of those things where you do the most, the least scalable things at first. But I also have to say that, like, as much as I look back at that phase of my life where I was making blueprints all the time, I also like just feel so grateful for that because, like, it was such a hustle and it was so hard. And I also knew that, like, there was a reason I was doing it and people loved it. It was a 6-week wait for this document, And like, people were like, I cannot wait. And I was just like, I'm making them as fast as I can. So it was a really wild journey and it feels long ago. And I also feel like I really put in my 10,000 hours making those blueprints.
Absolutely. And that is
Yeah.
one way to really build up some pent up demand in your audience when you're like,
Totally, 6 weeks.
there's a
Yeah.
6 week wait for my blueprints.
I
So
know. And they're like, but it was so fun. Like, they were just so excited. So it's been a really amazing offering. We sold 40,000 of them now. It's been totally organic. Like, it's just been like such a thing that spread through word of mouth. And it's been a really, I think it was so unexpected when I put up that first Instagram story and took the first Venmo. Like, we never could have anticipated it growing in the way that it has.
well, I have mine and I have been reading through it. I love it.
I'm
And I
so
think this
glad.
is a really cool way for people to get introduced to human design because of the fact, like we said earlier, when you pull up your own chart, initially you're probably just going to be like, what even is this? There's a bunch of
Yeah.
symbols and squares and triangles and shapes and lines and gates. And you're just like, I don't know what this is. Right. But the thing about the guide is like, it kind of gives you all of the nitty gritty, like of all the main parts of your chart, like written out. It's in a beautiful format. It's really easy to understand. I love the fact that there's like examples in there of like how this applies to work, how you can do this in partnership, in conversation, if you're asking for something, knowing what to eat, like so many examples of how to
Yeah.
use your type, your strategy, your authority, all the things. So it's like, it's amazing for someone that wants a human design reading, but maybe wants it in a more accessible way. And you get to keep it
Totally.
forever. The thing about a reading is like, how often are you going to go back and listen to that recording and like, or
I
re-look at
know.
the notes that you took, but you can pull up this beautiful PDF and like, be like, oh shoot, what was my authority? I forgot. Like, how am I supposed to? And just always refer back to it. So I think it's a really cool, timeless offer. And I'm excited to offer everybody a discount today if they want it. So we'll leave the link
Yeah.
in the show notes for you guys. You can use code DAILY and save if you want to join in on the fun, which might be, a good thing to have as we kind of get into this conversation. Let's start with types. There's five types, right? This is essentially how you can use your energy in the most productive way, as you say. So walk us through these five types and kind of like the highlights or the challenges of each one briefly.
If you don't yet know your type, you can look it up at humandesignblueprint.com. The five types are manifesting generator, generator, projector, reflector, and manifester. You'll see if you look up your design that there's something called strategy as well, which comes along with your type. So I'm going to also talk about that now just to sneak it in. Generators and manifesting generators are very similar. Yeah, there are some distinctions. So let me talk about them together and then separately. So generators and manifesting generators are really here to be the doers, the ones that have so much energy and life force to kind of build and create and make things happen when they feel genuinely excited and lit up by what they're working on. And so one of the biggest life lessons for both types is the more that you're doing what lights you up, the more energy you have. The more you're kind of doing what you think you should and what depletes you, the quicker your battery drains. So these people are such energetic powerhouses and can really kind of lift up the energy of everyone around them, but it requires that they kind of treat their own satisfaction as a priority and as important. Because there is so much capacity in these people, boundaries is a really important piece. People can go to them wanting all kinds of help, all kinds of support, just want to be around their energy. And so really learning to trust your gut to know what you're available for and what you're not. Manifesting generators specifically, and I can't wait to hear how and if this resonates with you, are quite multi-passionate by nature. They're not really meant to be confined or put into just one box. Their career is likely going to look pretty non-linear. And so it's not about like choosing one thing and sticking with it forever, but trying things on and letting go of things and pivoting and evolving and changing because you just like can't be contained. And manifesting generators are also very fast. They can kind of find the quickest way to make a thing happen. And we can all be like, why are they going so fast? How can they do it so quickly? Can they do so much? But that is so their gift. And I would say one big lesson for you is to not expect others to move as fast as you. And then generators. others kind of might enjoy this. What do you
That's a
say?
bar. That's a bar right there. Not expect other people to move as fast as you in all senses. Yes,
All senses.
I need to receive that.
Yeah, it's like it is your gift and not others' gifts. You know, I had a client once who she's like, Karen, I've gone through like seven assistants, like none of them can keep up. I was like, they're just not meant to. Like, you want somebody that really meets you in a different way, can really handle the step-by-step stuff. And she was like, oh my God, I've just been so frustrated that they're not like me. And then generators might actually really enjoy the step-by-step process. You might like doing lots of things at once as well, but it might be like diving deeply into one thing for a day and then moving on to the next. The last piece that I would share, and obviously there's so much to share about these types, is that you're very magnetic. You're not really meant to chase after anything. You're meant to kind of wait for things to show up in your world and see how your gut naturally responds to what shows up. And when your gut gives you a yes, then following that. So it's not about coming up with your next idea out of thin air. It's just saying, like, what are you responding to? What is your body pulling you towards? And how can you trust that as your compass?
I literally can't force myself to come up with an idea of any kind. Like, it has to
Yeah.
be naturally generated. In business, a lot of times, sometimes that's somewhat inconvenient because you're like, all right, let's come up with a podcast idea, or let's come up with an idea for this training, or I want to build a new course. Like, whenever I try to
Balance.
force it like that, it doesn't work. I have to allow myself the space to get out of the house, get into the world, go to the beach, go for a walk, like, let go of the need or the pressure or the idea that I'm going to find something or that it's going to come to me. And when I'm least expecting it, that's when there's like a surge. And I'm like, oh, there's the creative idea that I've been waiting
Totally.
for. And I think I have a level of impatience where that is irritating sometimes,
Yeah.
but it's definitely been a lesson that I've had to learn about myself of like, it just doesn't work this way. The more that you try to force it, it doesn't work. I also really resonated with the part of like being magnetic and kind of like having to let things come to you rather
Yeah.
than trying to make things happen. I think all of the best opportunities that I've ever received have felt like miracles. They've just kind of like dropped into my inbox or just like shown up in some
Yeah.
way. And I definitely need to get better at prioritizing the boundaries, like you said,
Yeah.
of making sure that I am enjoying my life and spending time in the living so that these things can, I can be a match for them.
And I sometimes think we forget that. It's like when you really are like using your energy in ways that feel very satisfying, whether it's what you're working on or who you're spending time with and your friends, like you become so magnetic as a generator, manifesting generator. And so really carving out space each day to kind of do things that bring you satisfaction and joy is your fastest path to attracting the most aligned opportunities. And I also love what you said, where it was just you realize that that works and sometimes you still like don't trust it. And I feel like human design is such a good tool of being like, no, that really is the way. You know, it's really going to make your life easier if you do trust that. But I mean, I've been studying and sharing human design for 9 years, and still I'm like, oh, I'm going to try it this way. And I'm like, oh, no, it really doesn't work that way. Shoot.
Yeah, we just need to be continuously humbled by trying to force
Every time.
things.
Then we've got projectors. Projectors are really here to be leaders, guides, advisors, teachers, not here to do all the doing. But we're very susceptible as projectors to want to keep up with all the generators and manifesting generators around us. And so, one thing I would remind my fellow projectors is that your gift is not how much you do, how hard you work. It's really in your perspective and how you see. You have such an innate wisdom and sensitivity to people. You're really good at asking the right questions. So, finding ways to really tap into those gifts and also just use your energy sustainably. For me, it's been a big lesson in carving out breaks in my day, carving out space, like not expecting myself to be on and available all the time. Also, as projectors, we can feel like a need to be productive all the time. I think having time to like be deliberately non-productive has also been a real important tool for me as a projector. As projectors, we're really here to be invited in. It basically means that when we're considering like who to partner with or who to work with, it's important that we feel deeply seen by them and deeply recognized. And they're not looking at us and thinking that we're going to be a doer. You know, they really understand and see our gifts. But I will say, as an entrepreneur, a big lesson for me has been the way that I can allow invitations is to make myself visible and let the world know that I exist. If people don't know I exist, there's no way that they can invite me in. A big lesson has been just to share and kind of see what invitations come. Like I shared, the way that human design showed up for me was such an invitation. We started recording, but I'm writing a book right now. Like, think about how that came about. Like, so many moments in my life, similar to you, and all the most aligned opportunities, like they were all invitations. And so it's been a big lesson for me in really trusting that.
And I think people that are projectors sometimes get caught up on that like invitation thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, am I just supposed to like sit back and wait for people to be
No.
like, hey, how can I work with you? Because that's a big challenge, especially when you're starting out early on as an entrepreneur or even like in dating and things like that. Am I just supposed to like sit here and like wait? But I love what you said about like making yourself visible, making
Yeah.
yourself known, like taking
Yes.
up space, sharing your presence.
100%.
But it doesn't have to be this like hardcore like pitch.
Yeah. It's like people cannot invite you unless they see you. So your job is to let yourself be seen. And even if you do reach out to people, just like let them know you exist, you know, and see how they respond. And like also remember that most of the world are generators and manifesting generators. So give them a thing to respond to. And also like human design is an experiment. And so try it, you know, see what. what kind of like reach outs or visibility feels good and what doesn't, you know, and then see what works for you. Like, I try to avoid my invitation. I've tried it so many times in my life, and I'm like, oh, that didn't feel good. Like, what a lesson to kind of come back to that. Then we've got manifestors. Manifestors are very innovative, disruptive forces, really good at like getting things started. That's when kind of their energy is the most alive, is getting a new idea off the ground. But they're not really great, or they often don't have the energy to kind of sustain and maintain everything that they start. And so really like building a career and where you can be innovative and disruptive and new and like keep freeing up your energy for new things to initiate. Often freedom is a really core value for manifestors. So really building a life that makes you feel free. You feel free to do what you want when you want. The energy for manifestors often operates in creative bursts where they can make a lot happen over the course of a couple of days, hours, and weeks, and then have to kind of pull back and rest. So it's not about being consistently on, but really honoring that moment of inspiration followed by a need for rest. And manifestors are here to initiate. They're not here to wait for anything to come to them. They're just waiting for an inspiration to like spark and take hold within them and then just pursue it, even if no one has ever done that thing before.
I wonder if, because I talk a lot about with my clients, like a business model. And I think there's this challenge of trying to look at what's working and what other people are doing, kind of follow a similar business model. But I feel like understanding your human design could help you
Oh
choose a
God,
business model
yes.
that works for you the best. Because as you're talking about manifestors, I'm thinking like, okay, if they work in these like spurts, like maybe there's someone who really enjoys like the live launch model where it's like, you know, we're going all in, we're really pushing for something. And then there's like this big moment of like rest. And then we gear up again. And then we do this another like burst.
Totally.
Whereas for some of my other clients, like that's their worst nightmare. Like they hate that. They would rather like be on and just like sell all day in little ways. And maybe that's kind of more like MG energy.
And I think it can influence our business model in so many ways. And I have a lot of manifestor clients who like they come online and they're just like so on fire. And then like then they just disappear for a few months. And then they're like back on. And it's so fun because I've done team sessions for a number of them. And their team just knows this. They know that like they're gonna be so on fire, and then they have to go rest because rest is when the next inspiration will come. And they know that it's worth waiting and worth allowing that because then they're gonna come out on fire. So it's also so important to kind of really build a team around you and build a support structure that like really understands how you work. The final type is a reflector. They're the most rare, about 1% of the population. These people are incredibly sensitive to their physical space, and they're always kind of taking in and magnifying the energy that they're around. And so they have to be such ruthless curators of who and where they're spending time with and in. We call them evaluators in human design because they just see and sense and feel things that everybody misses. They just can like see what's not working in a space, what needs to be improved. And so they will often thrive when they're in a position where their perspective is really invited in, appreciated, seen as like very invaluable. And they're very, and honestly, you have some of this in your design too. So there are elements that might resonate, whether or not you're a reflector, but they're also meant to be very fluid. They will have days where they feel like a manifesting generator, a generator, projector. Like there's so many things, and their job is not to like figure out their one purpose or be just one way, but honor whatever feels like them that day, knowing it's authentic and it's just a part of them that's coming out.
Would that come from like certain like centers or openness somewhere?
You have a open identity center. So it basically means that you're meant to have a very fluid and flexible expression of self. And you're also somebody who is so deeply sensitive to your physical space, and you have to be surrounded by beauty.
Oh my God, this makes so much sense. My partner wants to kill me over this sometimes because when we travel, I would rather spend three times as much money to make sure that like our room is nice and like I like where we are. And he's like, we're not even gonna be in there. We're just gonna sleep in there. Like it's not that big. And for me, I'm
That's
like,
everything for you.
no, I can't.
It's so funny because often when I sit in partnership sessions where one person has a design like you, I'm just like, tell their partner, I'm like, they need to be really high maintenance about their space. So you've got to support them in all the ways where it's just like, if a hotel room doesn't feel right, change it. If the table at the restaurant doesn't feel right, leave. Hotel doesn't feel right, change hotels. Like it just, the thing I would actually say for you is being in the right space creates the right experience. And so if you're actually staying at a table at a restaurant that you don't love, like it's going to be hard to have like the date that you want. Even if you're living in a city that you don't enjoy, if you're in a home that you don't enjoy, like opportunities might feel like really stagnant. Like for you, and for reflectors, being in the right space is like your most powerful tool to attracting the right people, opportunities, and experiences to your life.
Absolutely. I resonate with that so deeply. So deeply. I need to enjoy my space. I was so excited to buy our home because I was just like, yes, I get to like make it what I want. There's big windows, so much light. Like this is the space that like makes me come alive.
You're doing it right.
Can we talk about authority? Because I love
Of
this
course.
too. It's like how you make decisions. And I think it's really, really helpful for people.
I think we are all making decisions every day, small and big, from who to spend time with, what opportunities to say yes to, what to eat, you know, how to spend our days. And I think we can so often get in our head and try to convince ourselves in or out of any decision. and we can often can convince ourselves in or out of any decision. And I think human design really reveals a deeper knowing within us that we can use to trust every decision that we make. So there are seven possible authorities. So let me start with you. You are a sacral authority, also known as trust your gut. So you are somebody who is meant to make decisions in the moment based on your gut feeling. Like as soon as that full body gut yes is there, you can just take action. There's no need to wait. If you're getting anything but a full body gut yes, it's either not the right thing or it's not the right time. Meaning that might not feel right. And then a week later, you're like, your gut does not come with a reason. If you find yourself being like, I'm going to do this because maybe this thing will happen, that's not your gut speaking. Your gut is like, feels right or it doesn't. The last piece that I would share for you is the most powerful way to access your gut is for specific questions. So if you don't know what you want to do about a thing, it can be useful to have people ask you, like have a partner ask you, have your partner ask you, do you want to go out for dinner, cook at home? That might be a much easier question to ask than where do you want to go for dinner? Or having somebody on your team be like, do you want this person on your podcast? Instead of like, who do you want next? You know, like very specific questions speak straight to your gut and kind of help you bypass your mind.
100%. I hate open-ended. Yeah. I'm like, it feels so energy draining to me to have to like think. I do this all the time with my partner too, especially with, he's like, what do you want for dinner? I'm like, can you just decide and just tell me what we're having? Or be like this or this.
It's just so much easier to know. And I find that people can feel like they're indecisive, but it's often they're not just being asked in the proper way. And so it can be useful to be like, it's not that I don't know the answer to your question, but if you give me options, it's going to be a lot easier to tell you.
When I was 21, I studied abroad in Spain and I met this guy who's my partner. We've been together for 9 years now. Anyway, I was 21. I was not trying to like date seriously or anything, but I meet this guy. I fall in love. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. We say goodbye. We think we're never going to see each other again. I go home. I have to finish my last year of college. And then that whole time we're kind of like still in contact. We're talking. I realized like we're so like in love with each other. This is crazy. And both of us cannot imagine a version of our lives where we just move on and don't get to see each other again. So I start thinking about what am I going to do about this? And I had these job offers to move to Chicago and start my career out of college. And I ultimately decided like, I'm going to decline these job offers and I'm just going to go move back to Spain. I'm going to teach English in the schools. I'm going to earn this like really low, almost like poverty level wage, but like, I just have to, it just feels right. Yeah. I don't know how to explain this to people. It doesn't make sense. I have an incredible degree from an amazing school that was wildly expensive that my parents helped me fund. Like everyone's going to be disappointed. This doesn't make sense. And I had no language for intuition even at the time or trusting my gut or sacral authority or any of that. And still I was in my gut enough to look everyone in the face and be like, I'm leaving. Sorry.
Oh God. It's so amazing. It's such a good reminder that when you learn all these parts of your design, like look back over your life, you know, it's like, I was doing this recently with my jobs. I was like, wow, I applied for my first job out of college. And then I never applied for a job again. Like I was invited into every single one after that. And like, I hadn't even like made that connection till yesterday where I was like, oh wow, of course. You know? Right? So it's just like, if you look back, like look at the moments in which you were honoring your design and the moments you weren't and like where it led you, because your life experience can give you so much insight into like whether these strategies actually work for you. A few of the other authorities, we've got emotional, also known as wait for clarity. These people are not meant to make decisions in the moment like you. For them, it's about loving a decision over time, not in the moment. So my recommendation for you is pay attention to your initial instinct about a decision, then check back in the next day, the day after. And then if your feeling remains strong, then move forward with it. You're kind of waiting for your emotions to really settle and feel very cool and calm before you say yes to a thing.
I think this might be my partner because one of my pet peeves about him, we talk about this all the time, is like, he likes to do things twice. Let's just make the decision. Like, let's just do it. And that's because I'm very like, I already know the answer in my gut. Totally. I don't need to wait a day or like see if it feels right. So I get frustrated by him. I'm like, let's just do it.
But like, what an amazing example. And this happens so much in partnership where there's like all this frustration with decision-making because it's like, I already know. Like, why aren't we just saying yes? But like, I would say if this is indeed your partner, it's so good to build time into collective decisions and trust that even though you already know, like the clarity that he's going to reach when he actually gives himself time to feel into it is worth waiting for. It can be annoying as somebody that has this authority and my husband is like you. I know it can be annoying for him. And I also know it's worth it, you know?
And annoying for you, probably.
What's actually annoying for me is that like, I sometimes just want his gut to feel differently. And then it's always worth waiting for. I'm like, why is this not a yes? You know? And then when it becomes a yes, it's like, oh, that made sense why all the other things weren't a yes. But it's annoying for me when I want his gut to be different than what it is. And it's just like, I'm annoyed. And also this is so right. Then we've got tune into your intuition, also known as splenic. These people are meant to make decisions very fast like you, but it's not a gut visceral belly feeling. It's more like a quiet whisper, an instinct, like a, just like a resonance with something or not. It's so quiet and often very hard to tap into. For these people, my recommendation is to just really cultivate any practices that help you quiet down and hear yourself, whether it's meditation, being in nature, dance, time away from others, to kind of see what is that instinctual awareness that arises. Then we have ego, also known as just tune into your willpower. These people are meant to make decisions based on what their heart is pulling them towards, but also what they really have the will to do. The right decisions are the ones where they're like, I desire this, I'm motivated to have this, and I just want this. Like, they are not meant to say yes to anything that they feel half-hearted about. And it's often good to kind of take rest before making a new big commitment. Then we've got self-projected, also known as talk it out. These people find clarity by saying things out loud and just seeing what it feels like to say a thing out loud and how it feels when they say it out, when it just comes out of their mouth. And so I would recommend for these people, like, consider who in your life is a really good sounding board who just asks you questions and doesn't have an agenda, isn't trying to convince you of a thing, and just kind of lets you, like, just talk things out and see what truth emerges. Then we have two more. Then we have mental, also known as be in the right space and talk it out. Very similar to what I just shared around talking things out, but the addition is being very sensitive to their space like you are and kind of talking things out in different spaces that feel really good to kind of see what truth emerges. The final authority is for reflectors. It's called wait a lunar cycle. They are meant to give themselves a full 28 to 30 days before they make a big decision, which I know for many of us can feel like a little bit wild. And yet for the reflectors I talk to, they're just like, obviously, you know? And so I would say for them, it's not for every decision, it's for the big ones. And the idea is it gives them a lot of space to kind of disentangle their feelings from other people's feelings and just land in their truth. And one day it just lands. They just know it. And so I think, like I said before, like, it's just worth waiting for the moment when you really do know. So just having the awareness that we all reach clarity differently and really playing with yours to be like, oh, what happens when I really just trust it? You'll notice that no one is meant to create a pro-con list, you know, and think of all the reasons why they should or should not do a thing. They all have different ways to kind of access what they know to be true.
Yeah, I love that last piece of like, you don't really need the pro and con list. I think so
No.
many times we try to like logic our way into decision
Yes.
making when a lot of us are really designed to make decisions in a totally more like intuitive, bodily, sort of emotional kind of way.
And we just all have different ways of accessing it. And this is just one way to know how to access it for ourselves.
Okay, so one thing that I read about in my blueprint that I had not heard about in human design before is the motivation. I was like, wow, I've never heard of these motivations: fear, hope, desire, need, guilt, innocence. Like, what is that?
If you look at your chart, they'll see that there are four arrows around the, like, head part of it. And motivation comes from the top right arrow. And it basically is what we're motivated by. And so for you, your motivation's need. So it's actually being motivated to, like, be a resource for other people and being really kind of attuned to, like, what other people need and staying conscious of that. This is definitely not the first piece of the design I'd recommend diving into. It's kind of actually the last piece. But, you know, you never know what the journey that people will be on. And, like, another really interesting part for you is called your view, which is called survival, which is a terrible name, but it's from the bottom right arrow. And it basically means that the right decisions for you are really rooted in a sense of trust that you're like, I will be taken care of. Like, I'm going to move to Spain and, like, take this very low paying job. And, like, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to have, like, a roof over my head and, like, my needs will be taken care of. Like, I trust it. And, like, all the right decisions for you are kind of rooted in that trust. But I'm curious, does the need piece make sense to you?
Yeah, it actually does. And I was kind of
Yeah.
thinking about, I don't know if you've ever heard of Gretchen Rubin's like four tendencies,
Yeah.
which is really about like your expectations and motivation style in a sense. And in that, like I'm an obliger. If someone else is expecting something of me, or if someone needs something from me, or if someone is waiting for me, like I can really show up and meet that expectation. But I'm not as good at like being the opposite, would be like an upholder, which is someone who like internally they have, if I say that I'm going to do something, I will definitely be there. I'm going to do it. And I'm just
Yeah.
not that way. If I say that I'm going to be at the gym at 8 a.m., but no one's waiting for me, no chance. Like, I'm either going to be late or I'm not going to be there. But if there's someone that like needs me to show up, or it's like
So
a group thing or
interesting.
someone's waiting for me, like, I'm going to be there.
Wow, I love that. Such a beautiful interpretation and reflection of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do like just a little bit of profile. I know I'm a 5-1, and one of my best friends in like the business space is also a Manny Gen 5-1. And we discovered
Okay.
that once. It was like that moment in Step Brothers, the movie, where they look at each other and they're like, did we just become best friends? So crazy and wild. But she has told me, she's like, we get a lot of projections. Like, people project
Yes.
onto us a lot. But I haven't really dug too much into this. So can you maybe explain like why that is?
The five and the one both carry different meanings. The five for you is around the fact that you're somebody who's really here to have a big impact. You're a very natural leader. You're a very good problem solver. You're really good at coming in with your clients, offering a solution no one has thought of, and then kind of, like, checking back out. Like, you're not meant to be, like, in there solving problems all the time. It's like an in-out kind of thing. You might be very tempted to fix everything because in some ways you can, but I would say that it's important to be really conscious of what problems you actually feel available to fix and what you feel most well equipped to fix. The projection piece is that people can see a lot of potential in you. They can look at you and be like, oh my God, you'd be great at this. Or, like, I want you to be my friend. Or, like, can you help me in this way? Or can you save me in this way? And as seductive as those projections might be at times, it is is so important for you to have very strong boundaries and make sure the things you're saying yes to are because you genuinely are like, I'm so excited to do this. And this feels like a reflection of me. I'm not saying yes to this job because you think I'd be good at it. You know, I'm not trying to save you in this way because you think I can. I'm not trying to help you in this way because that's what you want from me. Like, it's just so important to stay rooted in like what actually you feel available for. But what it means is that like you just have this very mesmerizing presence that people want to be close to and think that you can help them in lots of different ways.
I think I am pretty good without even like knowing that that's what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. I think I am pretty good at saying no to things and turning things away because I could be doing a million things. And I think especially as an entrepreneur, you no matter what your profile is, like you can't be doing all the things all at once. Like even you with human design, I've heard you talk about like, you know, people wanted you to do a course, like people have been wanting you to write a book. There's the podcast, there's all these million things that you could have done, but you were really like on your path of this is what I need to stick to and focus on. And, you know, my team, my partner, people will always be like, oh, you could do this. You'd be so good at this. And I'm always just like, yeah, but no.
I think also to me, it feels like that's partially because you have a really strong connection to your gut, which is your tool to let you know what you're available for or not. I think it's also a really good reminder that if you are self-aware and, you know, connected to yourself, you're probably already going to be living your design in many ways. Like you're already going to have discovered that, like, oh yeah, things come to me. And like, let me just see what my gut naturally responds to. So it's human design can validate that.
I've also heard that Taylor Swift is a 5-1. She's not a
She is a
ManyJet, but
5-1.
she's a 5-1.
So the one is that you're somebody who's really here to be an expert, an authority, somebody who's like really dug deep into your field. And you're like, I know what I'm talking about. You know, like obviously I don't know everything because it's impossible to know everything, but like my foundation is strong. Like you're somebody that people are meant to look to as an authority, as an expert. And so carving out space to kind of build that foundation is so important for you. And also letting people know how deep you've gone, how much you've done. Sometimes people with this will like not share because they don't know everything. I don't experience that from you, but it's important to be like, okay, my foundation's strong. It's now time to share this thing with the world. And I would also say that you're really meant to let your curiosity guide you. Like if there's a new thing you want to learn about, like that you just want to like investigate and study, to just trust that. Because like what you want to investigate and study and learn everything about is exactly where you're meant to go. And if you're in a job where you're like, I don't actually care about mastering this thing anymore, or like learning more, then like it's not the right place for you. Like you want to be in a job where you're like, I want to keep getting better and like learning everything there is to learn about this thing.
A lifelong learner. I love that like investigative piece of my personality
Oh
naturally.
yeah. It's yeah. And it's like that's why people come to you because you have learned and you have dug deep. And like, you're like, I know what I'm talking about.
I think the piece about like authority is interesting too, because I often say you don't necessarily have to do anything to be an authority. Like authority is a frequency on some level, and there's like an energetic to it. It's interesting to now understand that like that is partially like my personal experience, but would be interesting to like figure out how can I teach that better.
Well, it's also interesting because the way that the one is placed in the 5-1 profile, when it's the second number, it's what others see in you. So it's like in your profile, like it's actually less about you seeing yourself as an authority, but more that like that's what people see you as. You know, like they kind of just like see you as a teacher, an authority, and somebody they can learn from.
I feel like sometimes that happens with things that I'm not necessarily a
The
teacher or authority on.
projection.
And yeah, and people are like, oh, can you teach me how to like grow my following? And I'm like, I never said I was an IG growth person, but like I can help you with like content or messaging. We can talk business strategy, but like,
But I think that's such a great example because that talks about how the two of them come together. The fives, you're going to receive all these projections of how people want you to help them. And then you use the one to help you know where you can actually help. It's like, is this actually aligned with my expertise? Is this the thing that I've dug deep into? Is this the thing that I feel so equipped to help with and solve? And it's like, oh, this is actually not that piece.
interesting. Okay, so if you guys want to learn more about your individual profile, you got to go get a blueprint. It's so cool. You'll be able to dig into what all of that means for you. One thing that I want to ask you, Erin, before we finish is because we were kind of talking about this before we started recording, this journey of motherhood. And I'm just super curious, anytime I get to interview an entrepreneur, really successful CEO who's also a mom, I'm like, you're my hero. I'm so fascinated by you. I look up to you. I want to know all the things. So I always have to throw this question in there. I'm just curious how it has changed your relationship to work, entrepreneurship, and time.
Oh my gosh, in so many ways. I feel like before becoming a mom, I like spent a lot of time doing things that like were not that important. And I feel like in becoming a mom, time feels so much more valuable because I love the work that I do. And also like time working is time away from my daughter. And so it better be worth it. And so like I think that for me, there's just like I'm so much more focused on like what do I actually like, what are the highest leverage activities priorities for me? What can I delegate? Where can I be supported? Where can I be the most impactful? And so I feel like I just am using my energy so much more effectively and efficiently because time feels different. And I also feel like it's changed the business in many ways. You know, it's like I can't show up online on social media every day in the way that I have for a long time. So like, what are other ways that we can grow our business? And it's like, then we actually developed an entirely new channel that has been so much more effective than me showing up on social media. And I don't know if this would have opened if it wasn't for being a parent. I think that it has changed so much. And also one thing I'll say is that I went back to work really early, which I think I will not be doing with a second. But I think that postpartum, like it took a while for the inspiration to come back. And it did for a lot of the moms. I was in like a beautiful mom entrepreneur mastermind. And we were like, should we just shut down our businesses? Like, are we just all done with this? And then we were all like in the same place. And we're like, maybe this is like a theme for where we are in our postpartum journey. And it was just so interesting to kind of watch the inspiration finally come back, but also be inspired to do things differently than I was doing before and be inspired to kind of, you know, write a book and do a podcast and just like use my energy in different ways. So I think it's been amazing being a mom and entrepreneur. And I think it's allowed me to use my time so differently and it's brought so much more perspective to my business.
That's what I'm hoping for. Kind of what I said to you about Parkinson's law of like you fill the amount of time that is allotted for a task and it just makes you more effective and you know that you have nap time and that's it. And so you kind of figure out what can I get done in that amount of time and just kind of makes you productive in a new and different way.
I feel like I haven't nailed this just yet, but I do feel like a lot of moms I talk to, they're like, I'm the most efficient, effective person you have ever met because like when they are down, I will like make everything happen. And so like you just figure it out. I do think that it's definitely like made me revisit my schedule. And I think my husband and I are revisiting it now. I've just been like, I am working less than I used to. And I actually want to work like a good bit less, you know? And it's more just like, and I don't think it's actually around achieving any less in a case like this. It's more just around like organizing my time differently. And so motherhood is going to bring that up, you know? And like, I think one thing I also had to realize is that I had a lot of ideas about what I would want before my daughter was born. And then she was born, and I was like, I want totally different things. And so I just learned that like, I'm just not going to know any of these things until I'm actually there.
That's also helpful. Like, you're probably not going to know. You're not going to be able to plan it all out. You're not like, you just kind of have to like ride the wave and see where it takes you.
But like I said, and I know not everyone wants to be a parent. I have so many friends that are choosing to be child-free and are so happy about the decision. It's been so fun. I feel like we talk so much about all the hard things about being a parent because they're so real. And also like, I just don't feel like I heard about all the good things and how fun it was. It is such a gift to watch a human grow. And I just like, as somebody who's never been a baby person or a child person, I just don't think I really realize how fun it could be.
I can only
It's
imagine.
so fun. I have never laughed so much in my life. It goes to a whole nother level. And like when we got on the phone call, I was like trying to stop laughing because my nanny had just a photo of my daughter, which is like doing everything with this like weird carrot in her mouth. And I just like couldn't stop laughing. And I'm just like, this is just like, it's so funny. It just like returns you to like this primal part of yourself where you're just like, I don't know. It's such a joy.
You wouldn't have heard that part, but when we first jumped on the call, Aaron just goes, "Oh, sorry, I was just watching videos of my daughter."
In the 2 minute break I had between our calls, you know, I was just like, oh, can I watch this? It's just so funny. It's such a, like you said, we have two wild dogs. We're so obsessed with them, but child is a different thing.
I love that. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming on the show today and
Yeah, my
sharing all of
pleasure.
your wisdom. I'm really excited to spread human design to even more people. If you have heard of it, if you've dabbled, if you've learned a little bit, but not a lot, or you've never heard of it at all, like dive in. It's so much fun. Grab yourself a blueprint. You get to learn so much in just this one little document. It's actually insane
It's
and it'll
crazy.
help you in so many areas of your life. So, yeah, thank God for those. And they're no longer handmade, but they are still equally as
They're
personalized and
better. Yeah.
beautiful.
No
They are
mistakes.
better. Yeah, no mistakes, they're better. So we'll leave the link in the show notes for you guys to grab one. And then, Erin, let everyone know where they can find you online.
Of course. So on Instagram, I'm at Erin Claire Jones and Human Design Blueprint. And our website is humandesignblueprint.com. And then the website for the guides is humandesignblueprint.com/guide.
I love it. All right, you guys can find all of that in the show notes below. Make sure that you go give Erin a follow if you enjoyed this episode and you know someone who might froth on human design as well. Copy the link, send it to them in a text, or take a screenshot, share it to your Instagram stories, share it with your community. We love you guys so much, and we will talk to you next week. Bye. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Erin. If you are hooked, if you're obsessed, if you're ready to go deeper in human design, don't forget that you can grab your very own human design blueprint. Click the link in the show notes or go to humandesignblueprint.com/guide and enter the code DAILY in all caps at checkout to save. This is going to be the easiest, most accessible way for you to really learn, integrate, understand, and live your human design. I've actually gotten personalized human design readings, and the blueprint is better because there's even more information in it than what could be covered in a one-on-one private session, at least in my experience. So I'm obsessed with mine. Go grab yours if you want, and we'll see you guys next week.